This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, what is the dream scenario for Texan fans? Before we get to that, let's just remind you of how awesome D'Amico Ryans is. Here was D'Amico Ryans talking about the physicality of defenses he coaches and how he prepares his team.
Is that sort of physicality something you have to establish in training camp? And, maybe it might be a tougher training camp than with other teams, but do you feel like that's a necessary component of making sure guys know from the jump?
Oh, yeah. Our guys know from not only training camp, they know from OTAs, like our first meeting with our guys. Like, that's who we're going to be. Like, we're going to be a physical defense. So guys understand that before we even put pads on. They understand the style of play we have to play as a defense. And we carry that on throughout training camp. Is it going to be tough? Yes, it's going to be tough. But anything worth having, you got to work hard at it, right? It's not going to be easy. It's not easy to be a physical defense, right? And coaches are grinding each and every week to bring that physicality out of you. But when you got the right guys in the locker room who have that mindset, like, I don't have to speak on it much, because you will stick out like a sore thumb if you're not being physical on our defense.
All right, so that was D'Amico Ryans on the physicality of his defense. You've got a good cut up on that on your social media.
On my YouTube, yeah.
On your YouTube, yeah.
So, it's interesting. Not everybody has to bribe players to injure the opponent,
right,
to try to motivate your defensive players. It's something that's curious to me. It's weird how the guy that feeds all these stories to guys like Colin Cowherd doesn't have really Bounty Gate brought up all that much anymore.
He doesn't.
It's kind of strange, isn't it? Way that works.
It's legitimately weird that it doesn't get brought up.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, you see.
Yeah.
He's cozy with all these guys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or well, at least he's cozy with some of them.
Right.
When I talk about when you're evaluating coaches' references and you evaluate what are other people saying about them, and you get a whole lot of perfunctory praise from people about coaches. Oh, yes, he's done a very good job for us. Oh, yes, he's very, very bright. I like to look for effusive, over-the-top praise. And D'Amico Ryans gets that kind of praise from his players and from other coaches, including like Matt Schaub, who he played with, talking about how D'Amico used to try to pick his brain all the time about just why the offense does things a certain way. That's one of the things. D'Amico's reputation for quizzing offensive players and coaches about the offense is one of the things that makes me get over my fear of hiring a defensive coach, because ultimately it comes down to, okay, does he really genuinely understand offensive coaches and their challenges? And I think D'Amico has put more effort into that perhaps than a lot of other guys.
Is there a certain type of player that's cool with the mindset we just heard D'Amico talking about? Like, is that something that if D'Amico's a head coach, the thirst for physicality, I'll say on both sides of the ball, probably the need to practice,
yeah,
those types of things. Is that something they're going to have to vet well when they're scouting guys or looking at free agents? I mean, we're in an NFL where the physicality of practice is one of the things that's at an actual bargaining chip,
yeah,
with the players union.
Well, yeah, that's right. I don't know. I don't know how just absolutely physical the practices are,
okay,
or whether it's if it's an issue of do they have more injuries or not. I think some of it, when it comes to tackling and just effort and defense, a lot of it has more to do with running than anything else. Like Gary Kubiak was known as a guy that had very, like, quote-unquote, less physical practices, and that was a bonus for players because you're not necessarily getting stupid injuries all the time, but you ran and ran and ran in his practices. Some of the most tired I've been was after his first year here. just because you're playing against that zone offense, that zone running offense. So you just run to the sideline every damn play, or you're running to the sideline realizing it's a bootleg and then running back the other way. So it's like they were hard practices. And just getting guys to practice that way. Dan Quinn is a different, different style in some ways than D'Amico Ryans, but like those guys run and run and run for Dallas. You can see that they play the way they practice.
Would you rather have a practice that's really hard because of the physicality, or really hard because of the running?
Oh, the physicality, just because that would mean just stand.
Like, that seems to play into what you would.
Well,
like
yeah,
to
I used
do.
To love 9-on-7 drill because then you're just standing there and soaking up double teams, or you beat a guy and then you only have to take 3 steps to tackle him.
Beautiful.
The inside run. Well, that's inside run drill too. Yeah, that's more fun. Or blitz period or something like that.
John Crumpler, who John does a nice job covering the Texans for USA Today, the Texan Wire. And he put up an interesting poll yesterday. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, are we setting ourselves up for disappointment? I've tried to be so conscious of not trying to get my hopes way, way high on this coaching search. Not because I don't think the Texans can close the deal, but because I've experienced the last 2 years of Lovie Smith and David Culley. The candidates for this job this time around excite me way more than the last couple of years. So that gets me excited. But his question was this: with the information available, what's the dream Houston offseason if they're going to take a quarterback with their first pick? And he's got 4 choices: D'Amico and Bryce.
Okay.
D'Amico and Stroud.
Okay.
Gannon and Bryce.
Hmm.
Gannon and Stroud. Now, again, you can only put 4 choices on a Twitter poll. Otherwise, I would put Steichen with each of those guys.
Right.
But I think Gannon's in there because he's a perceived favorite.
He's a perceived favorite. I wonder, though, with Steichen, just the fact that he's worked with 2 young quarterbacks and gotten very good results out of them.
Yeah.
The fact that Steichen was the OC for the Chargers when Herbert was the rookie of the year, and that Herbert in some ways seems to have gotten hit a glass ceiling
plateaued
of some sort.
Yeah.
I think that, I would have rather gone and seen Steichen with one of those guys. Okay.
It might not matter.
I'm guessing, okay, if people have they readjusted their expectations with the number 2 overall pick now and veered more towards C.J. Stroud? I think a lot of people have.
Okay.
I'm going to say the dream scenario in your poll was D'Amico and C.J. Stroud.
Well, this is John Crumpler's poll, but
it's yours now.
It's mine now. I own it on the radio. Sorry, John. Only 19% for that one, Seth.
Okay, yeah. I've misjudged our 77.6%. Still want Bryce Young.
D'Amico and Bryce.
Okay.
D'Amico and Bryce, yeah.
Look, I admire their Gannon, steadfastness.
But this goes to show you the disappointment that there will be if it's not D'Amico Ryans. I don't mean to set it up so everybody's disappointed. This is how it goes on this poll. About 1,000 votes in here. D'Amico and Bryce Young, dream scenario, 78%. D'Amico and C.J. Stroud, 19%. Gannon and Bryce Young, 1.9%. Gannon and C.J. Stroud, 1.4%. So the combined Gannon scenarios don't even get to 3.5%.
Yeah.
People want their D'Amico Ryans, man. They want him bad.
Well, yeah, that jives with your poll of 97% approval rating for D'Amico Ryans.
To be a record in a Pender poll.
It would, yeah.
It would be a record
for any kind of poll.
For anything
to get 97%+ approval.
Yeah. The previous high was Eric Bieniemy's approval rate to be the Texans head coach in 2021.
This is where I get nervous is, okay, what was our big objection with Bill O'Brien, the general manager? Was it like he was always trying to hit a parlay? Where it was, you take like 7 improbable things and say, well, if this works out, and if this works out, and if this works out, and if this works out, you stack too many of those ifs together, and all of a sudden you're looking at a very improbable event. And with this, I'm saying, look, I don't mind getting a defensive coach whatsoever, even though the trend is going the other way. So, okay, I'm bucking the trend a little bit there. And now, do I also not mind taking a quarterback who's far smaller than any quarterback really that's either been drafted in the first round or been successful as an NFL quarterback in the last several decades?
Let's go for
it. It's a parlay, yeah.
Hey.
But if they pull it off,
hey,
Sean.
Hey, man.
If they pull it
the
off.
The upside.
Hey, Bob Kraft taking a chance on Bill Belichick was kind of a parlay.
It worked.
Wasn't it? Traded a
stolen from the Jets.
What draft pick did they have to trade for that?
To the Jets,
They were penalized, I think. That wasn't a trade. That was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. Belichick was with the Jets for like 2 days.
Not you. Yeah, it was. He had agreed to it, and then he wrote his resignation on a napkin.
Yeah.
And then went up and gave like a half-hour press conference.
We don't have enough napkin notes anymore. Everybody's texting and whatnot.
Nobody has a pen on them.
We need more. I know. Yeah. We need more business done on napkins these days. We drop some plays on napkins. I've seen some of that.
You know what? There's something about a napkin. It's the limitations. It's like anything great creatively. Sometimes it's because it's done within certain limitations, and it forces you. Like you have to. It's like, okay, I'm going to come up with this plan and or this resignation. Like, let's not overthink it. I'm going to jot it on a napkin. I'm not going to get too verbose with it or anything. Here we go.
Yep.
Likewise with game plans and business ideas.
Yeah.
You put it on the napkin. Or you come up with the idea.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Ideally, you come up with the idea, you hire consultants, you vet it out in front of focus groups, and then you write it out on a napkin and create a great story about it. Like, oh, yeah, my buddy and I were having beers down at the pub, and this old man, his name was, don't ask his name, this old man said, you know, it reminds me of a story from World War II. And we based our entire company on that.
An old man named Corn Ferry sat down with six of his associates. And we hashed it all out on a cocktail napkin.
Yeah. You got to have a cocktail napkin story.
It's got to be involved.
Yeah.
You're getting some suggestions for questions for Jeremy Pena. For those who don't know, Seth is one of the co-hosts for the Houston Sports Awards tomorrow night. It's a tradition like no other. Seth interviewing Ronald McDonald.
And that's I checked. I wasn't. I am interviewing Ronald.
You
McDonald's.
Are again this year.
Yes. Yes.
But
I'm also the pre-MC.
Yeah, you're doing like the pre-game show.
Yeah, that sounded vulgar. I'm the pre-MC. I'm doing, I'm one of the pre-MCs.
Yeah.
We're like, Alex Bregman is the...
He's the host.
He's the host, yeah.
It's his show. But you, along the way, are going to have a brief stand-up with Jeremy Pena, where you ask him a question.
Yes, and I'm supposed to, yeah, and they've given me license to, given me license to just ad-lib on that.
Here are a few...
I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to get... I'm gonna screw it up.
Here's a couple that have come in on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page.
Trailer Wheel and Frame!
9085. Tell Seth to ask Pena why Dusty wears those damn gloves. Is he about to pull briskets off the pit? With a lot of exclamation points and question marks after it.
Which is, his latex gloves.
His black gloves that he wears during games. Yeah.
Did he start wearing those during COVID?
I think he did, and then maybe just got superstitious. He's
a man of many superstitions.
Yeah.
And like, and kind of, he likes accessories.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He's got the wristbands. I mean, he's branding some of that stuff now.
He's got the toothpick. He's got the wristbands. He's got something else embroidered.
Okay.
Oh, and Kennedy Smith, Patty Smith's daughter, is the co-pre-master of
ceremonies. Oh, former track star at Texas A&M. That's awesome. That'll be good. That's a good squad right there. 0780 has one serious question and one fun question. The serious question is an interesting one, probably way too nerdy for the Houston Sports Awards crowd. With the shift being banned, is that going to change the way you play or approach the shortstop position since it's been the norm since you've been playing college and pro ball?
That is an excellent question, and yet, yes, way too like,
you will immediately
heavy.
Become the most boring pre-MC of all time.
I've learned that before when you do stuff like this, you gotta tailor it to the audience, and a lot of people there aren't sports radio listeners or actually like, clued in on anything other than they like going to games and stuff. So I had a really good joke that would have killed you. But a few years ago, and I can't remember. It was about basically a current event that was a little too sports nerdy, and it felt like a rock.
Fell flat. Yeah.
So then I just started cursing everybody out. you guys don't deserve me.
Hey, this is the biggest crowd I'll be able to tell this at one time. Yeah. Go die, everybody.
Go die, everybody.
I went Jim Morrison on their asses. I completely fell apart. I was rolling around on stage.
here's the fun question. Okay. This would put Jeremy Pena on the spot. I don't know that he would answer this one. Who has the worst eating habits on the Astros?
Well, Yuli, but he's not there anymore.
No.
I would say, is Yuli
not anymore. Remember, he cut out pizza and beer last year.
No, he's not there anymore.
But even his eating habits were bad 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He cut out the bad stuff and his average dropped 100 points.
Who is the fattest, who's the chubbiest guy right now?
Astro? That's a good question. Well,
probably
Maldonado,
fit.
Probably. I mean, but he's a catcher. He gets a pass.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Maldonado's got a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I shouldn't have said fattest, but, you know, like the least chiseled. Remember that
still Maldonado.
Their pitching staff has gotten more rotund.
They
used to be incredibly fit as a pitching staff.
Yeah.
But now they're they're more lovable as a pitching staff, and just that they've got more personality, and some of them are a little bit like they've got dad bods. They're not fat, but they got dad bods.
Fromber is stocky.
Right. No, and that's yeah.
He's stocky. He's right. He's
no,
fat.
Yeah, Fromber's yeah. like built. I would imagine, yeah, none of them are fat.
You know who would be more fun if he were fatter?
Who?
Ryan Stanek. If Ryan Stanek put on about 50 pounds.
Yeah, well, he's got a little bit of that skinny fat deal.
I
going.
Need him to be fatter. Yeah, like with that long hair.
Like a broomstick with a pot belly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got that. That's why it's so weird that he's not a redneck. Because in so many ways, it's so disappointing when he talks. Because he just looks like a river rat from Missouri or something. And he opens his mouth and you're like, oh, this guy's like actually like learned and stuff.
Yeah.
It really annoys me. I feel like I shouldn't trust him.
Yeah, worst eating habits on the Astros. That's a good one.
Luis Garcia, like he's another one where I think he's like more muscular than you. Because baseball uniforms make guys look
100%.
Like you wouldn't have a clue that Altuve's as jacked as he is.
Right.
Because of the baggy jerseys and everything.
Luis Garcia, there was a picture of him floating around on the internet last year in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's yoked up.
Right.
But the baseball uniforms, to your point, don't fit well.
It's honestly, okay, this is gonna be this will be the dumbest thing you hear on sports radio today and yet also the most valid.
No, we still got 43 minutes left.
For all the various things that... Yeah, I can do this. for all the various things that they've tried to improve baseball, like I do think that there's something about the uniforms, including... And I'll go this far. This is even dumber and yet completely true. The umpires' uniforms. These guys are wearing like businessman's gear from 1985. Like the big baggy pleated pants. They were like, it's one thing. Okay, fine. If you're going to have them wear slacks or something, but like, okay, update it a little bit.
Yeah.
And the players' uniforms are not, the bagginess and everything is something from like 20 years ago. It should be more, guys in the 70s wore tighter gear than guys now do. And in this age where it is so much about appearance and guys being shredded and like their impressive physiques and everything, you really don't appreciate the athleticism of a lot of these guys because they don't look like NBA players or NFL players when you see them in their uniforms. I think there's a perception that they're not as athletic as they actually are just because they're dressed frumpy.
Right.
And you can't really appreciate their like the physiology of
it. If you go to a charity event and you see these guys, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like these guys are they're elite. Do you like the stirrups look with the socks, with the short pants, or do you like the pants that go down to the ankle?
I don't
like
mind that either way.
I like the stirrups.
As long
it's
as the
old
pants
school.
Are skin tight.
Right, right, right.
All right.
You see every striation jiggling underneath there. Absolutely. Wait, did I say that or think that?
I think you're thinking it. I think the striations don't jiggle as much as
true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.